When we talk about the miracles of Jesus, it's very easy to become sidetracked. We begin to ask ourselves, well, did it actually happen this way? Did Jesus actually walk on water, or was he just wading in the surf? Did Jesus really raise up the daughter of Jairus from death? Or was she asleep, as Jesus seems to indicate that he was? We begin to wonder, and we say to ourselves, well, why don't things like that happen today? We have a great God. We have a Savior, we have Jesus among us. Why do things like this not happen to us now? Well, that's not the road I want to take this morning, except to say that most of us have known or heard of people who have been miraculously cured of illness in ways that we do not understand. And then I kept thinking, as I was in the community hospital earlier this week, how God raises up a team of doctors, of nurses, of technicians, of building maintenance people, of cooks, of people of all walks of life, how God raises up a team like that to perform his healing miracles in the world today. And we have to stop and think not only of what God can do, but we better pay attention to what God does do. For God is still at work in the business of healing, in whatever ways it happens. I give thanks to God when I take my 8 pills in the morning and my 5 pills in the evening. For medical people who have developed the things that keep me fairly healthy at age 86. And many of you have the same experience. And you know something about healing. And you know something about getting well. And we cannot say God is absent from this process, for God is very much in it. But I want to take us back to a different track this morning. I want to take us back to the story that was read to you from the scriptures, the story of Jesus healing the daughter of Jairus, and the story of Jesus healing the woman who touched the hem of his garment, we say in the King James Version. When we stop and talk about Jairus, we're talking about a prominent person in the life of that community, for he is identified as the ruler of the synagogue. Now, he was not the pastor. He was the chairman of the administrative council. And he and his colleagues were responsible for scheduling the services of worship, for maintaining the building, for supervising the various ministries of that particular congregation, that particular synagogue. And as such, Jairus was a man of prominence in the community. He had respect, he had power, he had a certain amount of wealth, he could have whatever he wanted to have, he could do whatever he wanted to do, but the crisis came in his life that he could not deal with, for his daughter became sick and near death. Now, normally, a person of importance would have sent a messenger to Jesus. Jairus decided to go himself. And it must have taken a great deal of courage. It must have taken setting aside a great deal of pride and self-esteem in order for he himself to go to Jesus and kneel before him and ask for Jesus' help. For Jairus had everything he needed, except he needed Jesus. Now, the same story is true of the woman. A little different story, but the same general idea. In order to understand her situation, we have to remember that the Jews had very strict laws about what was clean and what was unclean, who was and who wasn't. And a woman who had a hemorrhage and had had one for some time could not be considered clean. And that meant she could not worship with the congregation on the Sabbath. It meant that she was cut off from most of her friends because they would legally become unclean by associating with her. It meant that she could really not go out in public, for she would come in contact with people that she would supposedly contaminate just by being there. And so she too is faced with a crisis that she cannot handle. She has spent all her money, she has seen all the doctors, and medicine in that day was very little advanced from superstition. She had spent her money, she had seen the doctors, and nothing seemed to be able to help. And she realized that she too needed Jesus. Now, she could not make an appointment with him. She tried to be anonymous, to blend in with the crowd so nobody would notice her. But when she got to Jesus, and when she was able to touch the hem of his coat, Jesus noticed her. And Jesus told her that it was her faith that had made her well. And from that moment on, she was healed. Two people, both of whom had almost everything they needed, but realized that in a time of crisis, they needed Jesus. Now, we are in a society that pays high tribute to the idea of self-esteem. We like to be able to do things for ourselves. We like to feel that we are independent. We are terribly protective of the self-esteem of the younger generation as they grow up, because we do not want them to think that they do not amount to anything. We want them to think that they can do anything they want to do. And yet, sooner or later, in your life or mine, we are bound to come to the same place that Jairus came to, the same place that the woman came to, and realize that we need Jesus. Sometimes the burden gets to be too heavy. Sometimes the water gets to be too deep. Sometimes the valley of the shadow of death gets too dark. Sometimes we just want to add a little bit of frosting to the cake that life has given to us. And it's too bad that it takes desperation sometimes to get us to realize our need for Jesus. But better realize our need for him out of desperation than not at all. And every single one of us, you, me, all of us, sooner or later discover that our relationship with Jesus adds a plus to our lives that cannot be added in any other way. And so the question for us is, how do we get in touch with Jesus? How do we stay in touch with Jesus? Well, let me tell you how it works for me. Generally, the famous Knudsen cat and I are the first ones up in the morning. The cat's job when she gets up is to go out in the backyard and make sure that everything has remained shipshape overnight, and she does that very well, and it always is. My job is to prepare breakfast, three breakfasts, one for the cat, one for me, one for my wife. And while I am doing that, I often find myself humming one of the hymns of the church. And I'm in love with the church's music, and particularly with what I find in the hymnal and the little Faith We Sing songbook. And I find myself humming a hymn to myself. Often it is an old hymn from Sunday school, from a much earlier day. And some of you will recognize it as being a hymn with the title, Yield Not to Temptation. But I am particularly impressed, and I am particularly in love with the last line of the chorus that says, look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. That has been my experience. I have had that happen to me many times. And I have discovered that when I do something like that at the beginning of the day, it carries on through the day. And I think of Jesus occasionally, quite often, sometimes not very often, but Jesus is not far from me when I begin my day that way. Now, you may have something that helps you get in touch with Jesus, because in terms of religion, one size does not fit all. We all have different approaches. Jesus meets us in different ways, depending on our need, depending on our circumstances. But whether it be a bit of scripture that you remember, a prayer that you pray, or simply going out and enjoying God's creation and remembering who created it, there are many ways to get in touch with Jesus. You may even be able to do that in church this morning. It happens once in a while, you know. And I remember the story of the man who said, I don't always understand what they do up there at the front of the church, but I sit there and I think about Jesus. What he said, what he did, how he died, how he rose up from the dead. I sit there and think about Jesus. And when I leave, Jesus goes with me. So may it be for you and for me this morning, that we will be here thinking about Jesus, and that when we leave this place, Jesus will go home with us, or over to the fellowship hall with us, or wherever else we may go. Jesus will be there as often as we think of him. And it is he who will bring us the help and the healing of body, mind, and spirit that is so important for living life at its best. And so, I want you to try something with me this morning. I would like you to close your eyes and imagine that Jesus is here in this sanctuary, in whatever form you see him. Perhaps you'll think of him as you see him in so many pictures, a tall, young man dressed in a white robe with a look of authority on his face and with a kindness that is there that means more than just kindness. And as you think of him and as you picture him walking down the aisle of this church and reaching out and touching you on the shoulder, and feel that presence, feel that power coming from him into your life, the same power that came into the life of the woman who came to him for healing. Now, this takes a little bit of faith, but faith is imagination grown up. And as we imagine the presence of Jesus, as we imagine his presence with us, we discover that it's not just imagination. It's not just thinking. It is Jesus indeed, as he comes to us, as he walks with us, as he is with us through the day. And so this morning, this may be the beginning, or it may be a continuation of a process that's been yours all through your life, of Jesus' presence with you in your life, and finding in him the courage and the faith and the strength and the power to meet the crises of life, or to put a little extra frosting on the cake. Take Jesus home with you this morning. Keep him with you through the day. Think about him as often as you may think about Michael Jackson. Think about him as often as you can. Jesus will be there, and you will find in him the best of life, the best that life has to offer. Amen.